As the Democrats convene in Boston this week, party leaders are confident that there will be no battles among the faithful. They expect their program to follow a carefully orchestrated script, putting forward exactly the image the candidates for president and vice president want. It's a far cry from the old days when conventions were often slugfests with bitter disagreements over policies and politicians. Joining me now is NPR news analyst Cokie Roberts. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Let's stay for a moment in the present. The Democratic Party is not unified on the question of the war in Iraq, but there won't be a platform fight on that issue this week, will there?
No, the Democrats have already agreed on their platform. I suppose the full convention has to do it officially, but the platform committee has met, and there was a little bit teeny argument over the Iraq plank in the platform, where the supporters of Dennis Kucinich, the congressman from Ohio, tried to get in a language saying that the Iraqi invasion was a mistake, but he didn't make it into the platform. In fact, what the language of the platform says, and I am quoting here, "People of goodwill disagree about whether America should have gone to war in Iraq." Pretty bland.
Why didn't people who disagree with the majority plank speak up? I kind of think I know the answer on this one, but...
Well, as you know, the parties have been trying to go to the electorate with a unified message. But beyond that, the people who control the conventions won't let the people with different views speak. And the last time you even saw an attempt at that was in 1992 at the Democratic Convention. Pennsylvania Governor Robert Casey wanted to talk about abortion. He was a pro-life politician, and he was told he could not make a speech along those lines at the convention. He talked to our colleague Linda Wertheimer about it at the time.
When we were hearing dissident voices in this party, we were winning elections. To the extent that this convention should mirror American life, which is very complex and very dissonant, it becomes almost a caricature of what's going on in this country to simply expect everyone to move in lockstep. Life isn't that way, nor should it be.
Of course, what you're hearing there is the convention behind them, because he was being interviewed, he wasn't speaking, and the Democrats went on to win.
In the past, there were not only major battles over issues at the conventions, there were also knockdown, drag-out fights over the nominees.
Oh, absolutely. In 1952, the Republican convention was quite raucous. Robert Taft of Ohio had supporters who felt that he really was the embodiment of the conservative Republican Party, and he should be the nominee. And then there were those who were very much behind General Dwight Eisenhower. Senator Everett Dirksen of Illinois was among those who thought Taft should be the nominee, and he got up and accused Tom Dewey, who had been the nominee in 1944 and 1948, of leading the party down the road to defeat.
When my friend Tom Dewey was the candidate in 44 and 48, oh, I tried to be one of his best campaigners. Re-examine your hearts before you take this action, because we followed you before, and you took us down the road to defeat, and don't do this to us.
Now, that was when conventions were really lively. Of course, what happened was Dwight Eisenhower was nominated and the Republicans had a smashing victory.
But after the next big Republican battle, the party suffered a major defeat.
That's right. In 1964, the Republicans met in San Francisco. It was a done deal that Barry Goldwater would be the nominee, and he was the conservative embodiment of the party. And there were others who thought he was way too conservative, and they tried to wrest the party back to the middle a little bit. And, of course, the person who has whose name has now become associated with that wing, the Rockefeller Republicans, was New York Governor Nelson Rockefeller, who addressed the convention.
During this year, I have crisscrossed this nation fighting for these principles, fighting to keep the Republican Party, the party... fighting to keep the Republican Party the party of all the people. And warning of the extremist threat, its danger to the party.
What you're hearing there is We Want Barry. And Barry Goldwater won, lost the election, but started a conservative movement that finally came back with the election of Ronald Reagan.
The most raucous convention in recent memory was the Democratic gathering in Chicago in 1968. The Vietnam War divided the party. Demonstrators in the street disrupted the delegates.
And my father, Hale Boggs, was chairman of the platform committee that year. And what a thankless task that was, because the Vietnam plank was so divisive. And people supporting ending the war, getting out of Vietnam, also supported Senator George McGovern for president, as opposed to Hubert Humphrey, who was the designated nominee. And Senator Abraham Ribicoff gave a speech supporting Senator McGovern that was quite a moment in the convention.
The youth of America rallied to the standards of men like George McGovern, like they did to the standards of John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy. And with George McGovern as President of the United States, we wouldn't have to have Gestapo tactics in the streets of Chicago. With George McGovern, we wouldn't have a National Guard.
Now, there's some Democrats who think that that convention cost them the election in 1968, which was very, very close, and they haven't had a raucous convention since then, Renee.
Do you think the parties are right that dissent should be quashed for the sake of appearances? Does it work better that way in this day and age?
They certainly think so, and they get what's called a convention bounce coming out of these unified happy affairs, about 6 points in the public opinion polls. But the truth is, Renee, these parties don't disagree internally much anymore. The big Southern Democratic wing of that party is gone. The big Northern and Midwestern wing of Rockefeller Republicans in that party is gone. And they're much more homogeneous, much more polarized, and much less appealing to the voters.
Cokie, thanks. NPR News analyst Cokie Roberts. You can find photos, speeches, and more presidential convention history at npr.org.